Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Kyle, and I got Brett with me. And guess what? It's 2025, time for a new year. And like I said, we had new music this time.
Yeah, I like that. Like my body was like dancing around a little bit.
It was grooving.
All right, so we got a lot to cover today because we had our vision casting service this past Sunday where Pastor Barry gave us a little bit of a vision for what 2025 looks like. And also we celebrated being in the new facility. So we've got a lot of stuff that happened this past week. So how was your guys' first impression of the new facility? I didn't prep them on this.
So go ahead, Brett.
I'm just throwing them.
I like how it's coming along. I think from the open house till now, there's already been a big shift. It's interesting. I was talking to Brittany about it, and there's an excitement, and also kind of for me, it feels a little bit surreal, like that we are in our own facility. Like it almost doesn't feel like it is. Mm-hmm. Probably it's just getting used to it and kind of knowing that it's not the final product. Almost keeps it like, okay, there's going to be more, or things will probably change, or, and so it's an adjustment. It's exciting. It's really cool to think of the possibilities and just to see how it's coming along. It's, everything looks great so far. And so I'm excited for it. But there is still a little bit of like, okay, getting used to the change. And not in a bad way, it's just different. Mm-hmm. I mean, one nice thing is I got an email this morning saying, hey, strike team, as of now, take the month off because we're not sure what your responsibilities are going to be. I'm like, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll take that.
Yeah, I think I was going to point that out. Well, I mean, for me on Sunday, I've been on site a lot, so I saw little by little changes, but then on Sunday to see it actually in action, it brought it more in focus for me. Like, oh yeah, things are different and it's good. But I was going to point out that, yeah, we're as staff, we're viewing the month of January as like a beta month. So we wanted to get certain things ironed out enough to make it, you know, good and functional, but we know there's going to be changes along the way, and still even some of the design implementation is still in process. I think there'll be some more things on the walls in the main room, and they're focusing on getting the kids stuff ready. So some of that took a back seat, but yeah, so we're, you know, even seating things might change and things like that. I'll tell you this, it was a little different being up on the stage to do the announcements. It was like, oh man, those kids are like right there. And even that front row of people, it's a different feel, but I like it. Not that I don't like it in some way. It's just, it's a little bit uncomfortable because everything's so close, but I like that at the same time. It's just something I need to get used to.
Yeah. I think one of the exciting things for me is the stuff that people haven't seen yet. Right. And so Steph and Jerry have done a really great job getting the kids areas ready. So this coming Sunday will be our first opportunity to have some children's ministry stuff. And
We saw the picture yesterday of that one room, right?
Yeah. Man. So if you haven't, well, nobody's seen it yet, but the den is going to be pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And
I want to go back and be a 2-year-old again.
The Hive and the Pride areas. It's really cool to have our own space now where we can actually decorate the walls and make it look the way that we want. And even like Brett was saying, knowing that it's going to be temporary, it's like, if this is just the temporary version, what's the permanent version going to look like? Mm-hmm. It's going to be exciting. But I know that my son was excited about the Forge X magnetic room. He said that's the best room in the whole place.
Well, I'm glad he likes it. We have some stuff we got to work through, but it'll be nice. It was nicer than I thought it was going to be from just the way that it was described. So it'll be fun. It'll be just another set of, I don't want to say challenges, but just things to work through. But I'm thankful that we have a place to meet, and it just felt like there was a different level of either weight lifted off or just even being able to hang out afterwards, there wasn't like this rush. It was just like, oh, we could just sit here and talk for however long. And, you know, normally, not that people don't do that when we're meeting at the school, but there is more of a kind of like clock of like, okay, yeah, we like should go or
feel, right?
Yeah, or yeah. Or more people just know like, oh, we don't hang out here. Mm-hmm. But this time it felt like, oh, there's a lot of people actually lingering and hanging around. And I heard from a lot of people that both before and after church, there was a lot of people seeing each other inside of Trader Joe's. So that'll be another meeting ground,
yeah,
I guess.
For sure.
Yeah, it's cool because we've been talking about the Lord leading us to this direction of being a city on a hill. Mm-hmm. And we actually get to be on the second floor. So it's kind of like a something going on in the natural that the Lord is doing in the spiritual. So kind of in that line, that's kind of part of what Pastor Barry shared with the vision for this upcoming year, as well as kind of the longer term vision for our church and what it looks like to be a city on a hill. And so I thought that would be a great way for us to kick off the new year for the podcast as well, is to talk about kind of the future of our church, the direction that the Lord is leading us, and what it looks like to be a city on a hill, and then also some of the focuses for this year. So I guess to get it started, we can cover what the four areas that Pastor Barry shared about what it looks like to be a city on a hill. So Kyle, you want to go over those?
Yeah, you know, that, and that's, it's kind of like a medium term outlook. It's not our vision. It's not like a 10, 15 years out. It's, you know, 3 to 5 years to become a city on a hill. It's going to take some time. But there's four areas that he highlighted that if we work on and we are directed towards these four areas, we are going to become that city on a hill. And it's hosting God's presence. So like having God's presence upon us and in us. And as we interact with people, that's going to come out and that's going to be prevalent.
And I think it's cool too, because some of the, or we've heard feedback from some of the visitors that came this past Sunday, and they said, there's something different about being here in this place, right? And someone that was a non-believer or hasn't, and has had maybe some negative experiences with Christians in the past, his response was, yeah, there's something different and unique about what's going on here. And that's part of what we're talking about in terms of hosting God's presence, is that there is something unique. It's not just a bunch of people that are gathered together to hear a concert or hear someone give a TED talk or something, but there's something unique and special about what we're doing as a church. And part of it is just hosting the Lord's presence. And hopefully more people that come around are like that and experience, you know, there's something, I don't know if I can put my finger on it, but there's something different here. And it was cool to hear that from the first Sunday.
Yeah, and even as like leadership and on the elder side and staff, Pastor Barry mentioned that we actually dedicated a space for hosting God's presence and encountering the Lord's presence, and we're calling that our throne room area. And having limited space is hard to give up. Space that could be used for other things, but we really felt like this is an important thing, and that's going to translate. When people come into that space, they're even going to sense like, oh, God's present. There's something different about just coming into this space. So it's the people, so we carry it, but then we want to just host it in general in that area. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, Brett?
I don't.
Okay. So jump in. I'm just going to highlight them, and then you guys can jump in. The second one was living and operating as a multi-generational family. That's a theme we've had for a while, but we want to make sure we call it out and emphasize it. And that, if we do that well, that's going to be part of living as that city on a hill.
Yeah, I think one of the exciting things for me about some of the shiftings that we've been doing, and I've talked about it on the podcast before, is just our move towards reshaping our multi-gen services. Because I think a lot of times when we think of multi-generational family, in our church we think of multi-gen service. But one of the things that I want to highlight, I think, in this upcoming year in terms of multi-gen service is not just that the kids are there, but it's that we have all the generations there, right? And so I think sometimes when we think of multi-gen services, it's like, oh, this is the one service where all the kids are in, which is true, but I also want to highlight, you know, we have a plethora of the older generations as well that are seeking the Lord with all their heart. And, you know, some of us younger generations get a chance to interact with them and glean what the Lord has shown them and accelerate our spiritual growth because of what they've gone through and what they've experienced. And, you know, I really feel like we are in a unique position as a church because there's a lot of churches out there that, you know, they're concentrated in one age demographic, and we have all the different generations in our church. And I think that's a blessing for us, and we get a chance to experience something unique because of that. And I'm speaking actually on multi-gen, being a multi-gen family in a few weeks, so I'll probably talk a little bit more about that then, but I'm excited about
it. Nice teaser.
Ditto.
Brett bringing his wisdom for 2025. Love it. The third one is restoring the whole person. So just as we get healing from woundings, trauma, even sins that we've let come in, things like that, that's going to transform us, and that's going to be evident, and that's going to be a light to people that we interact with, whether that's on a Sunday, whether that's with our family, whether that's at church. As we take care of the stuff inside, and as we become more whole the way the Lord intends us to be, that's going to be a place where his light then shines on us, and then that shines out to others. Yeah, so Damon just pointed you out. He's like, you're going first this time.
Well, I feel like I don't have too much to say about these four things. I think it's good to hear and know. And I think it's things that we already do, but to have it as an emphasis and to understand that if God is leading us to be a city on a hill, these are the things kind of, I don't want to say to be required, but almost like, okay, these are areas that need to be focused on and people need to walk through, and we need to walk other people through them. I mean, to be healed is something that's good, and to be restored and really to follow the mission of our church, I think is a huge thing. And so I'm still trying to work out and wrap my head around just a simple two part of wholehearted surrender and living in the light. So
we'll get to that.
These
we'll
extra that. Four things are like, okay,
just taking them in. That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, I think some of these things that we're talking about in terms of being a city on a hill is what uniquely sets us apart, not just as a church being catalyst, but as believers. And I feel like the Lord has really revealed that to us, that this is what it's supposed to look like for all the whole church. The capital C global church is, you know, we're supposed to be set apart. That's why in, you know, Matthew 5:14, which is where we get that city on a hill verse from, he's not just talking to Catalyst Christian community. He's talking to the whole church, right? And so I think some of these characteristics are what the Lord is intending for the whole church, right? And I think that's what Kyle's talking about in terms of restoring the whole person and finding our healing and wholeness. I think that's something that the church has kind of, I don't want to say done wrong in the past, but I think the focus has been on symptoms and not on the real issues. And I think, you know, a lot of times it's like, you know, we need to stop sinning, or we need to stop doing this, or we need to do this. And it's really a fleshly or will-based version. And so it's really kind of a humanistic version of living the Christian life, where kind of the direction that we're going is we're trying to take a look at what are the root issues that are causing us to, whether it's commit sin or turn away from the Lord or find our fulfillment in other things. We're looking for what those roots are and allowing the Lord to come into those places and bring healing and wholeness, and seeing, okay, are those symptoms still there after someone's been made whole? And most of the times they're not, right? And so I think it's a unique direction for us to move in this. And I think it's awesome because we've been prepared. Mm-hmm. The Lord has really prepared our church with some awesome prayer ministry teams, whether it's, you know, PMT, IPM, Deliverance. We have some amazing people that have really delved into how to minister to people and bring that healing and wholeness. And so I want to give a shout out to Jody. She's doing a great job of running our healing and wholeness ministry. And I really feel like that's something that's going to be really influential as part of us being a city on a hill, is we're really going to be able to minister to people where their deepest needs are and bring wholeness, and allowing the Lord to come into those places to bring healing and seeing lives being transformed from the inside out.
Yeah, I think for me, the visual that Pastor Barry did as well was really impactful. He had the puzzle of the heart with different areas and different aspects of things that we hold, things that can be very good, but things that can also turn into idols, like family, work, money. I don't know, forget some of the other ones are on there.
Entertainment.
Yeah. And so, you know, God just doesn't want us to give one portion of it. It's like, oh, I'm giving you this area of my heart. He's like, oh, that's good, but I want the whole thing. I want all of it, because that's where you'll find really your fulfillment in me. And so I thought that was really good. And I think for the kids to see that too, the way he demonstrated that, I thought it was impactful. And the last area before we move on to Brett's sweet spot is really, it's an aspect of the kingdom. And the way Pastor Barry framed it was, in some of those first three, like, we're being blessed as well. So it's about being the most blessed so that we can bless others. So it's like, it's taking it in and taking care of ourselves, but it's not just for that. It's so that we can go out and share that with the world. And then as we're getting healed, then we can help the others to experience that. As we're hosting God's presence, then we can shine that and let others participate in that. As we exhibit what healthy family, God's family, is intended to be, others can experience that. So I thought that was a good way, the way he framed it, to kind of wrap that section up.
I agree.
There we go.
And I think that's, you know, we've heard bits and pieces of that here and there, whether it's, you know, Pastor Ed sharing about living in the kingdom, Pastor Rosh talking about living in the kingdom. And really, that's what we want people to experience, what it looks like to live in God's kingdom. And, you know, it was cool, Pastor Barry's imagery for that one. He took the little tiny candle, right, mm-hmm. and said, a lot of people think that this is what it looks like to be the light. Mm-hmm. But really, it's this huge flashlight.
Spotlight, yeah.
Yeah, so it was interesting. I pulled Kyle over when he was doing that illustration. I said, Pastor Barry stole my illustration. And Kyle's like, what are you talking about? And it was kind of dark and it was kind of quiet, so I didn't want to talk too loud. So I kind of wanted to explain what I was talking about. So this was a while ago. I was, I'm pretty sure I was on a run one day, and the song, This Little Light of Mine, popped in my head. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. I mean, I remember singing this song when I was a little kid, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? And then I felt like the Lord said, that's wrong. I was like, what? We've sang the song a lot. He said, it's not a little light. It's a big, huge light that's inside of you. And I was like, oh, so do we need to change the way that we sing the song? And
this giant light of mine.
Well, it wasn't giant. It was like big, huge, extremely awesome, bright light. It was like,
awesome.
Like, I was like, oh yeah. If we're saying that the Holy Spirit is living in us, mm-hmm. then we can't just say it's this little light, mm-hmm. right? Because then we're minimizing who God is, mm-hmm. and we need to take a step back and really examine who do we believe in, you know, who do we see God as, and who do we see the Holy Spirit as. And so I thought it was really cool when Pastor Barry gave that illustration, because I think that a lot of people really don't see how much the Holy Spirit living inside them makes a difference, mm-hmm. right? And we kind of look at it through that lens of, it is a little light. We have a little light, but really it's this big, huge, amazing, bright light that's living inside of us.
Okay, so Pastor Barry didn't steal your illustration.
No, he didn't steal it.
He teed it up for you. No, so then when you're ready to use it, it's like, yeah, you remember when Pastor Barry taught? So this is
more depth. He did not steal it from me, but I was just trying to kind of mess around with Kyle on Sunday.
But now you can team up with him. And
yeah.
That light was blinding.
It was. Like, that flashlight was
like
bright.
One of those tack lights that you see them sell on those infomercials.
But yeah, these four things, they're not, like you guys said too, they're not things uncommon to us and things that we haven't already stepped into in some ways, but it's really, there's just a little bit more intentionality or focus to these four things to help us become fully that city on a hill.
And I think that's what's cool about it, is it's not like we're totally making a huge shift in the direction that we're going, but it's really just seeing what the Lord has been doing in us and saying, this is actually who we are.
Yep.
And this is how the world is going to see us in this new facility. Is God's been preparing us for this through the whole time.
Right. And so, you know, these things are, again, they're like a little bit further out, something that we want to aim for. But each year we're going to have some more current focus goals or focuses, emphasis, whatever words you want to use. And Brett, what are those for 2025?
Wholehearted surrender and living in the light.
Yeah, so those they'll reach into various aspects of those four other statements. Definitely wholehearted surrender will get into restoring the whole person and an aspect of that, and living in the light, you know, hosting God's presence and even the kingdom aspect. But then we can do both of those in the family context as well. So it's not like one has to focus on one has to focus on another, but those are two areas that it seems like as leadership, we've kind of been seeing like, okay, what's God been doing and what's he highlighting and what does he want to then carry forward? And so those two have kind of come up in the second half of 2024 for us as staff and in the leadership environment. And so, yeah, Brett, you want to share a little bit about wholehearted surrender and what you see for that coming up?
I mean, personally, it's not easy. Mm. It's something that I've been wrestling with ever since we've started talking about it and kind of diving deeper into it. Because when you sing worship songs, or you know, you have the sentiment or the idea of like, oh yeah, my whole heart, I give my whole heart to Jesus, or I lay down, you know, my life and all these things. But then as you dive into it and you hear more about it, or it's discussed and it's like, what does that look like? It's like, oh, that's, in certain ways, you see how much freedom and how much of God's goodness comes from it. And in other ways, it could be so difficult and so hard. And I could see why people like are hesitant to do that. And so personally, I've been trying to figure out like, well, what does that look like for me? Because when I hear surrender, there's an aspect of like giving up almost. Mm-hmm. And I do think there is an aspect of giving up, but it can't be like an apathetic, like mm-hmm. I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And so just whatever, mm-hmm. and expect God to be like a genie and just take care of everything. But there is a hint of truth of trusting that God can and does take care of everything, but it's not without like partnering with you. Mm-hmm. And so I hope I'm not messing everybody up, but like for me it's like, what does it look like to partner with God if I'm going to wholeheartedly surrender? Mm-hmm. Because there's like an active part of it which is also like passive, because if I'm holding things too tightly, then am I really surrendering them? But then I don't want to also get to a point where it's like, well, it doesn't even matter what I do anymore because I don't have any control. Or yeah, it's a weird, because there is an aspect of that too when you're thinking about God surrendering to the Lord. And so I think for me in my own life and my own walk, it's really been a gauge of like, what does it look like to hold things with like open palms? Or when I lay things down at God's feet, how much of it do I continue to play a role in, and how much Do I think about it? Do I make decisions about it? Do I plan for it? And how much do I like release some of that and let go and be okay with God's timing and the way he works? Because there's some sort of balance in there, and it's not going to be 50-50 necessarily, or feel like it's equal, or it's going to change depending on circumstance. But at least for me, really taking the wholehearted surrender seriously, it's had me analyze and pray over and sit with and question, what is my life supposed to look like in that like perspective and vein?
Yeah, it is a heavy topic or thing to press into. And I think for me, part of it that can be overwhelming is thinking of the whole heart part. Is if you're trying to think of it all at the same time, it's like, I can't even start. Like, I'm just going to give up. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it like, no, God wants, it's the long game. It's the marathon type approach. But God wants you committed and wants you to do a little bit at a time. It's not just a sprint. Like, oh, I got to get this all done right now. Cause it's like, man, there's just too much. I where do I start? So for me, that helps a little bit. It just to break it into pieces. Okay, God, what's the one thing right now that I need to surrender? What's the one thing right now that I need to bring into alignment with you? I see these other things, but I can't even either comprehend or I can't approach those yet. So just help me with this one area. And then as you get more of that aligned, then it becomes like, okay, now those other things are starting to become more tangible or reachable, mm-hmm. instead of like overwhelmed. And because, yeah, even when you were talking, it's like you can go to the hopeless like state. Like, it's just impossible. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And really, yeah, that's the whole point of, you have to get to that point of, I have to surrender because I can't do this. Mm-hmm. But then there's that aspect of, well, if I surrender because I can't do this, then what? But mm-hmm. then it's the faith of like, okay, no, God will step in the gap there and help you through it. But until you actually go through it, it's hard to mm-hmm. to have that the trust.
Yeah, Brett, as you were talking, I mean, I feel like the messy grace stuff just comes out of you anyway. but as you were talking, it just felt like there, you know, there's these two poles for us, right? It's like one is to hold everything so tightly and try to control everything, mm-hmm. and the other one is, okay, I'm just gonna not care and give everything up, right? And so what does it look like to walk with the Lord in all of these things, where it's, I'm going to control what I can control, but I'm also going to, like you said, hold things with open palms so that the Lord can work. And so I think that's something that we're all trying to do better at and learn how to navigate and how to walk in. But as we were talking too, I felt like for this portion with the wholehearted surrender, the verse Proverbs 3:5-6 came to mind, which is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And the part that stands out to me with that verse is the beginning of verse 5, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I think, you know, as believers, that's what we want. But one of the things that we've been learning as leadership and staff is that sometimes there's parts of our heart that we don't know that are disconnected from each other. So we might be trying to give the Lord all of our heart, but it's all of 80% of our heart. And there's still a 20% that is, we can't surrender, or it's hard for us to surrender. And we might not even know it. And so I had that type of experience. We had, I think I've shared about it a little bit on the podcast, but at our staff elders retreat, we had an experience where, Pastor Dean helped me to recognize and walk through with the Lord that there was a part of my heart that was desynchronized from the rest of it. And so it was hard for me to give that part of my heart to the Lord. And so as he walked me through some ministry time and walking it through with the Lord, I felt like that part of my heart was able to come into alignment with the rest. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, they asked me how I felt. And I said, I feel like I'm able to give my whole heart to the Lord in a different way than I was before. And so I think that's something that the Lord wants for all of us. And it's the word that comes to mind is integrity. is that he wants us to have an integrity of our heart where all of the parts of our heart are one and not separated. And then we're able to give him our whole heart. And when we're able to give him our whole heart, then we're able to trust him with our whole heart. And then, you know, what it's talking about in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that's going to happen because we're able to trust the Lord with our whole heart. And sometimes it's, and we're not even aware of it. Like, I wasn't even aware that that was going on inside of me, but I was able to find that there was a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of other things that were affecting me because of that disconnect. And those were alleviated once I was able to be reintegrated and then also give that whole self to the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, there's, it usually is associated with a wound or some kind of experience. And a lot of times with our adult minds, we can think, yeah, I'm good. I dealt with it. And I think there is a level where it can get healed to that with that. But I think as you were sharing, Damon, the word that came to me was awareness. And then you started saying that at the end. I think this year we want to get to a deeper, so to get wholehearted surrender or to attain that, we need different kind of awareness. We need, really, it's like a self-awareness, but it's really through the Holy Spirit. There's like a different awareness that we're going to push into. So,
yeah, it's not necessarily like a knowledge self-awareness, but it's more of like a spiritual self-awareness.
Right. And so, I mean, it might sound really heavy, but I mean, it's going to be something that it's, as we push into this farther, I think people are going to recognize it and even see the need for it in themselves. So that's one emphasis. It's about just, hey, what stuff do we need to deal with? And I think there are varying levels. So I think even the level that you shared about, Damon, is the deepest level we want to get to. But I think there's steps along the way. So don't even feel like, oh, I can't, I'm not ready for that level. I mean, there's still steps that you can take that will get you there. But really, it's the Lord wants us to pursue that. And then the second part, which can be viewed as being tied together, it's living in the light. So as we deal with that stuff, we're bringing things from our past to the light. But really, it's like Barry, Pastor Barry mentioned in his message that Jesus is the light. So we live in the light. We live in Jesus's light. As we do that, that's going to transform us. That's going to really impact those around us. So I think that one really, I think, is like almost like the no-brainer connection with being a city on the hill. If we live in the light, well, that's going to be the city on the hill that's going to shine. And so I think that's going to be brought out in different ways this year. So I do want to preface, I guess, this way too, as we're even talking about wholehearted surrender and living in the light, we're doing it from what we understand right now. And as the year progresses, I mean, it might be different things that the Spirit leads us into and different ways he wants us to approach these things. But I think those two topics, then there's a lot of ways that he can lead us in those areas.
Sorry, I don't know if I am taking it too deep or going too hard at it for the first kickoff episode.
I don't know that we know the extent. So yeah, I want to frame it that way just so people aren't feeling the pressure, because we have wrestled with things a little bit deeper already. Mm-hmm. So we're at maybe a different place, but it's not like we expect everybody to jump right into that.
I think one thing that stands out to me for living in the light without, probably diving into it deeper. I'm diving into it deep regardless, but is it's like a current thing. Mm. Like when you say that statement, living in the light, it's not like if you say it every day, it's every day you're doing it. Mm. It's not like, oh, I lived in the light or I'm going to live in the light. It's like in the now. And I think a big part of that is with wholehearted surrender and with this vision and, you know, Damon talking about integrity and just Kyle mentioning like healing parts of our past or wounds. It's okay going through that process or allowing God to heal you, to work through you. There should be like a change, right? And so living in the light is living that out. Mm-hmm. If we continue to live the way that we were wounded, if we continue to live with only giving 80%, then your surrender or your willingness, like you don't even get to experience your own fruit if you're not living in the light. And so for me, I think the biggest thing is for myself is to recognize that living in the light is something that I want to try to do like every day or continuously. Mm-hmm. It's not just like a one-time thing. Okay, I did it mm-hmm. and now I'm done. But living in the light is forever. How long you're living, mm-hmm. can you live in God's light and in Jesus's light? And so
it's your mindset.
Yeah, yeah. And it's about, because I feel like in our lives with a lot of this, there's things that God brings to the surface, or we recognize with our awareness about ourselves, or like, hey, I like for myself, I'll give an example. I had a misconception about God in my life. I would come into agreement with a lot of things that weren't from Him. Mm. And then it would set my expectation. Mm-hmm. I know God can do anything, but I'm not 100% convinced that He wants like what I want. Mm. And so even that would set me off on a trajectory of just being 2 degrees separate from view of God. And then, you know, as I continue to go, now I'm like way off. Mm-hmm. And so I had to kind of like confess that lie and then recognize like, no, there God does want what's best for me. And right. And so living in the light is even now, when I'm brought with situations or different things, sometimes as a defense mechanism, some of those thoughts still come up. Mm-hmm. But then for me to try to live in the light is, okay, I'm not going to come into agreement with those, or I'm going to pray and ask God to allow me to see things the way that He does, you know, like do mm-hmm. things that actively are different than how I would in the past. Otherwise I'm not living in the light. I'm not able to do things differently than I was before. And so then it's kind of all for naught per se. And so, I think it's going to be another continued process. And I think they go hand in hand. And so as we are able to better surrender wholeheartedly, we will see the ways that we can live in the light and ways that are feasible, or ways that our spirit almost like is compelling us or wants us to just be in God's presence and in Jesus's light.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, part of becoming more like Jesus, becoming disciples is that journey. And yeah, like you were describing, it's part of transforming your mind, transforming your thinking. But part of it becomes awareness. Like you have to become aware that, oh, I've been thinking the wrong way, and I've been actually partnering with thoughts that don't align with God and His character. But then you have to not just recognize it, then you have to like take the steps to break those patterns and reshape the way you have acted or believed or thought. And it takes time, but that's part of the living in the light for sure.
And I think in terms of living in the light, sometimes kind of like Brett was talking about misconceptions, I think sometimes we totally associate that with, okay, that means that they're going to try to dig up our deepest, darkest secrets this year. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a difficult place for us, which some of that might be true because, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to live in shame, right? And so sometimes when we hold on to those things, there's an aspect of us carrying shame with us. But I think the Lord also wants us to recognize, and He's going to bring to light some things that we've been holding on to that are areas of wounding or that need to be healed that we haven't dealt with yet. And so it doesn't necessarily just have to be sin. But I think He's going to help bring us, like we've been talking about, healing and wholeness. But part of it is helping us to recognize areas that we haven't allowed Him to kind of shine the light on and bring healing in those areas. And so we've basically kind of put 50 Band-Aids on top of them, and it's still festering underneath. And so the Lord might be ready to say, it's time to take some of those Band-Aids off and get some healing so that you don't have to walk around with 50 Band-Aids on anymore, but you can just walk around as a whole healed person.
Yeah. And I think a big word for us this year is going to be awareness, and to have better awareness, we need to be in the Word. And so on Sunday, I was doing the announcements, and I forgot to mention our Bible reading plan. So we're doing another Bible reading plan this year. And to start off, we're just doing a slow read through the Sermon on the Mount. So there's so many deep truths in there about really becoming more like Jesus. He's giving examples of this is how I live. This is how I want my followers to live. And some of them are, a lot of them are actually countercultural. And it's like, love your enemies. Things like oh, that doesn't seem right. How do I do that? But I think we decided to go through this slowly. So this week right now, actually, as we record, it's week one. It's just the Beatitudes all week. So just reread them and, you know, just focus on different ones. It's been good for me. I'll just give one little thing that I thought of yesterday that I feel like the Lord had me read it, like, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. But he had me add the word choose. Blessed are those who choose to mourn, for they will be comforted. Because so, mourning still is a choice. Like, it comes, but in all those Beatitudes, you could put choose in front of it, because really, you have to choose to actually embrace those things that he's talking about. Mm. And if you don't choose to go in that place, you don't get the reward part. You don't get the second part of it either. So I thought that was pretty cool. But and then starting next week, it's just going to be 3 to 5 verses. Really, I think most of them, maybe the longest section is 6 verses. So each day is going to be a different little section of the Sermon on the Mount. So just read that day, and what's something that the Lord wants to challenge you on? And he maybe wants to affirm an area that you're growing in, or he maybe wants to point out something like, oh, I haven't been seeing it that way. What does that look like? So we really want to encourage our people to get in the Word, because that's where you're going to find out what it's like to live in the light. You have to have that example. You have to have the truth behind that. Otherwise, you're going to be off course. And I was on a walk this morning, and I found another nugget that I haven't told Damon about yet, but I'm going to insert into on the website, the Bible Project. They have, I think it was like 11 videos I found on the Sermon on the Mount. They're all like 5 minutes, but I thought, wow, what a great way for families, especially, but adults, I mean, they're great videos for adults too, but watch these 11 videos with your kids as a family. If you have kids and you're a family, over the next 5 weeks, as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, just get them to start embracing, like, oh, God said that. What does that mean? You can have some great family discussions. They're animated videos. They're like 5 minutes. And yeah, I think we really want to encourage that part as we kick off our year.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that about being a multi-generational family of believers that we want to emphasize as well, is just the importance of all of us in terms of raising our kids spiritually. It's not just Steph's job. It's not just Jerry's job or Brett's job to lead our kids spiritually, but it's all of us. So it's the immediate family. It's also all the aunties and uncles and spiritual moms and dads out there. You know, we are one Catalyst church family as a part of God's global church family. And we are all have a role to play in raising our kids spiritually. And I think that's something that we want to kind of take up a notch this year too.
Well, I would even make that a little bit stronger. It is the immediate family's role. And if you're not in a position to do it well, like we want to come alongside you and help, but it is your, and I think we want people to have that shift of mindset of like, it is my role. And if you're not able to do it well and you don't know how to do it well, we want to help you, but we want you to become that mindset of, no, these are my kids. This is my responsibility. And we want to think of, hey, Brett, you're there to help, and you're help there to reinforce the things that are being taught at home. But I don't want to let the parents off the hook of like that. It is theirs first, and then it's us as a family to support.
Yes, so. And that's kind of what I was. Hopefully,
I know that's what you meant, but I wanted to actually go more pointed.
So. You know, as a church, that's one of the things that we hold as a value, mm-hmm. is that parents are the main spiritual leaders of their kids, right? And so for me, even when Pastor Barry first asked me to come and be a part of Catalyst when we were at CBC, still, you know, he was trying to gather the people that potentially could be staff and who was going to come to the church, that was one of the things that he had told me that really helped me in making the decision to come to Catalyst. Was he said, you know, at our church, we're going to, that's one of our values, is that we believe that parents are the main spiritual leaders of their kids. And so, you know, for all you parents out there, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, you are leading your kids spiritually. Mm-hmm. And so how you live, how you interact with the Lord, you're setting the foundation for what your kids are going to experience mm-hmm. in their walk. And so, you know, we want to come alongside you. We want to help you to recognize that if you're intentional about it or not, you're leading them spiritually somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so that is a value for our church. And, you know, we really want everyone to step into that too.
I agree. So
I thought you're supposed to say ditto.
Do your job, parents.
No, and I mean, as a parent, especially as your kids get older, it's great to have other voices because your kids need to hear things from outside the parental units. But it's like, I don't want to, I'm not depending on you to do it all. But I'm so glad when I hear my kids say, oh, Uncle Brett taught this or that. I'm like, sweet, because that's stuff we hear. But then when they when they share it, I'm like, okay, they're receiving it differently than they do from me. So they need multiple voices, but parents need to own the responsibility.
Well, I'm glad your response has been sweet and not like, wait, what did he tell you?
Well,
I'm sure that happens too, but.
it's early in the year. I want to make this uplifting. Oh, yeah, okay. I guess I got past the buck today to kind of like host. So Damon's looking at me like, we're all right. So that's kind of where we are for 2025. That's what we're focusing on. That's the direction we're going. We've talked about it for a while. Pastor Barry had that vision of city on a hill a while back. So I know some of these phrases and some of these things have been populating more in messages and in different things. So now you're going to be hearing them even more, and now maybe, hopefully, you know a little bit more of why and what the intent is behind those. So, I'm excited. Actually, we had a staff meeting yesterday, and I was thinking about it afterwards. There was some debate whether we would be ready for January 5th for the first service, and should we wait? Should we? You know, and I felt like I think we need to be there for the first Sunday of the year. There's something significant. It's a new place. It's a new season for us, and it needs to be on the first Sunday. So there was things that we need to iron out, and there's some changes we need to make. But I felt really good about, you know, it was good that we pushed hard, and we made it for that first Sunday, because starting this year, this is going to be an exciting year for our church.
All right. So, Kyle, the reason that I asked you to kind of lead the talk today, kind of pass the buck of hosting, is because of the content that we're talking about. And I guess in the past, I've not done a good job of holding my tongue on certain things, and I've been releasing things too early. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, you had a little bit more.
The gatekeeper. He's passing the buck, so I get put in the hot seat.
No, because I know that you know more of what we're allowed to talk about and what we're not allowed to talk about, and I have not been good. So some of these things that we talked about today, you actually heard last year because I spilled the beans a little bit early. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I don't get in trouble for releasing things too early. So that's part of the reason that I had you kind of take the lead on the discussion.
We're saying that Damon's on a leash now. So,
as it should be.
No, it's good. I just felt like, I think sometimes it's good for you just to be in the chair of, hey, I'm one of the participants, and not have to feel like you have to have your host hat on. So I'm good. I just was like, oh, everybody's quiet and you're looking at me like, oh, I guess I should just kind of wrap this thing up.
Well, I just want to make sure that I don't say something that's too early.
You're fine. If it was ever that bad, we would say, all right, stop recording. We have to hit the reset button.
But we're getting to the 45-minute mark. We're not going to restart.
Oh, no, I know. I said in the future, if it happens, that we would do that if you really stuck your foot in your mouth.
All right. Well, it is a new year. It's a new season for us, and we are in a new facility. It's all exciting stuff. And, you know, this past Sunday, just the atmosphere surrounding everything was just really, we had some positive energy, positive feedback. You know, we're just really excited to be in this new facility that we can call our own. And, you know, some of the behind the scenes stuff that's going on, it's going to continue to get better and better.
I'm excited for the kids to see the spaces this week and to see the reaction with the families, even the people without kids. Like, I know there were some grandparents trying to get in, because there was people trying to get in certain rooms last week, and I was in a meeting in one of them after service, and and they feel kind of bad because they know they're not, but they're so curious. They want to know. So this week's going to be, there's going to be a lot of excitement this week.
Yes, so we are adding a little bit of time to the greeting time so that you can explore a little bit.
Not too much. That's for the check-in part. But then
for the check-in part.
Well, yeah, but the explore part is for everybody after service. We're having food, and then you can go see all the rooms and
And then after service, there will be some photo opportunities and things like that in some of the rooms, because they like we said at the top, Jerry and Steph have done a really good job, and Christina have done a really good job of organizing, laying out, and designing the children's ministry areas. So
if you guys want to see the rooms before after service, $5 per person, I'll let you see.
Oh, wow.
Brett's giving free tours. And so we're excited about 2025. We've got a lot of good stuff coming up. And we've been talking to a few different people to come on as guests. And hopefully we'll be hearing some new voices. And I think I can release this one. Hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll have Marcy Benuya on for the first time as she's agreed to come on. So looking forward to that. And hopefully we'll get a few more new voices coming on the podcast to share some of the things that the Lord's been leading them in. And if you ever see Julie Wong, try to get her to come on, because I've started the conversation.
Okay.
But
Julie's called out.
So you can thank Mimo Julie for calling you out, because she really wants you to come on, but maybe this will help.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure every person that's come on for their first time, after we recorded, they're like, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought, or that was actually pretty easy. Like, it's intimidating, I think, when you think of it, but when you're here, it's just a conversation. And then there's always Brett, so Brett makes everybody feel relaxed.
I mean, if I can be on here, then anyone could be on here. So really, it's nothing. Yeah.
So yes, we would love to have new visitors. We'd have to love new voices on the podcast. So if you haven't been on yet and you are curious, just come on out, reach out to us. We'd love to have you on. And 2025 is a great year to be on the first time. And as of right now, there's no one on the podium, so if you might like it the first time. And last year was only 3 times to get on the podium as the top spot. And Trish has already said that she's gunning for it again this year. So let's see if we can have someone topper.
All right, I'm ready to close this thing out, because I want to hear that music again.
All right, well, thanks again for listening. We're excited for what's to come this year, and we're you know, just as a staff, as a, you know, church family, we are just really excited for what the Lord is doing in our church and in our people. So we hope that you're able to experience that. And we're hoping that this is the best year yet for us. Mm-hmm. So as it has always been, until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.